rest over the past. Some past event, a broken relationship, a lost job, a moment where they just blew it, maybe the worst day of their life. And U2 has this song that has always resonated with me, Stuck in a Moment. There are some people that are forever stuck in some moment and seem incapable of moving past that. There's other people that you know that they're always projecting into the future. They're always worried about, oh, what's gonna, I don't know about this. This is, And the interesting thing to me is we forecast into the future, and often much of what we're worried about never even takes place. But yet we spent all this time dwelling on it. And we miss that in any hidden, in any given moment are these treasures and blessings that sometimes are eclipsed because of the fears and the worries in our life. Learning to live in the moment and focusing on the gifts that it has to give you without worrying about the future or stressing over the past, I tell you, that is something. That's something. After all, think about it. You can't, when you really come to your common sense, you can't change the past anyway. What is done is done. You can be sorry, you can be remorse, you can seek amends, but it's done. You have to be able to move past that. You can't get stuck in that moment. And again, much of what we forecast in the future, we have no idea what we're talking about. It doesn't happen. And what I always find interesting is that we rarely see Jesus with us when we forecast in the future. Like, oh, this, I could get this, or this is gonna, oh, this bone's hurting, so this, and we never think, well, yeah, but Christ is there. Do we not? I mean, does that not change that a bit? We talked about childlikeness last week, and I think children have this wonderful capacity often to live in the moment. I like kids, and I like that stinking bulldog right there I just said. Parents will often have school-age kids. Some of you that have had kids, you might remember this. They'll maybe get out of school, and they'll get in the car, and we ask those same questions all the time. What did you do today? Did you have fun? Who did you play with? And kids will often say this, and they honestly mean it. I don't know. I don't remember, and I'm not sure. Why is it? Because the moment has passed. The moment they skip out of kindergarten and into the car, they have left the school day behind them and they've slipped into the present hour with you. They've moved on. You haven't, because you weren't there and you didn't know about it, but they've moved on and they're in this moment now. And a lot of times their minds can't even conjure up that, you know, that's done. So think about it. In a given day, to rest in the moment that exists now, and to delight in its uniqueness and the gifts that it brings to your life in that moment, like little kids do often, is not a very easy thing. To have a kind of contentment in the middle of your workday with God and your life and what God has to say to you that might not look like your schedule, what does God have to say to you in this never-to-be-repeated moment? I mean, think of that. This is a never to be repeated now. To do that, it's a hard thing. You have to leave the past behind. And there is this kind of, that's why Paul was big on this. There's this kind of contentment that has to sweep over you. Again, he says it like this. I've learned to be content. Here's the secret that he would pass on. I've learned to just be in the moment and be content with what I have in front of me. I know how to live on almost nothing, or sometimes there'll be lots, and I've learned the secret of living in every type of situation, whether it's full stomach or empty with plenty or little, because Christ is there in that moment, and he's sustaining me and giving me power, and he's giving me strength. That's the Shane Fuller translation there, adding a little bit to it. But so sometimes we have to relinquish our desire to be in control over our lives and our schedules and our activities, and be aware of what is God calling to you, because sometimes there's a person in front of you that's hurting and that doesn't match your schedule. I call those divine appointments. I don't always enjoy those either, because I have this list and then God has this list and he wants his list to trump mine, and I don't always enjoy that. Sometimes that's what being in the moment is. Hey, this is more important. I had this, I was going here, yet this is in front of me. So would you write this on your paper? You're going to do it later, but I want some movement while we're talking too. Write this on your paper. What is it that distracts you from the divine presence? Because I think all of us would say, hey, we're followers of Jesus. We want to know the presence of God. We want to know, and we want to extract all the goodness from any moment that he gives us. We want that. So in a given day, in a given week, as you think about your life, what is it that distracts you from the divine present and prevents you from fully appreciating this never to be repeated now? So what distracts you from the divine presence? What causes you to just go on autopilot? And you know, it's not like you're purposely trying to ignore God or anything, but you're just autopilot and you're not thinking about that. What is it? So we'll come back to that. So you got a little writing in there. Ann Voskamp says this: life is so urgent, it necessitates living slow. I like that. Life is too important to be consumed in a blur of activity. It is too precious not to notice those God moments, that love that will just kind of burst spontaneously out of people at sometimes in your life, or that unanticipated beauty that you weren't expecting on your drive to work. Here's the question: how many of those moments are missed because of our culture's addiction to speed and to control and to map out every aspect of our lives down to the 15-minute increments of every hour? If you think about it, that's a good portion of the Old Testament. That really was the children of Israel. They longed and pined after the comforts of Egypt. It was, oh, I had it so good here, and this is so difficult. And then how's it going to be in the future? Like, he's not going to be able to keep just giving us manna all the time. Like, if we could just go back, or how will it be here? And they missed all of these God moments. They missed what a lot of monks would tell you, the wonder of the desert. Sometimes life isn't in the city and fast-paced speed. Sometimes you have to go into the way to the desert. The desert has this harsh beauty, and there's something to that. Most of the Bible characters, they had to pull away. Jesus in the wilderness, Moses in the burning bush. They missed all those God moments. They missed the amazing miracles of God's provision because, oh, if we could just be like it was when our backs were getting slashed because we didn't make bread. Think of the lunacy of that. You know, it was so hard in Egypt, but yet it was so much better than this, and so they missed that moment. Psalm 62 is a great verse on rest. My soul waits in silence for God only. From him is my salvation. He only is my rock and salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be greatly shaken. I like that line. I think about the past and mess ups, the worst day of my life, things I've wish I could go back and change, and I project and kind of forecast in the future what will be, but I'm not shaken too much by either one of those, because in the moment, God is my rock and my fortress, and he's around. That's where salvation, that's where repentance, that's where God heals all those broken years, is what the Bible says. That's where all that is fixed. So I'm not too shaken. Now, Eugene Peterson, God rest his soul, my friend, seeing it from a great perspective now, he translates one of the lines like this. I love this. He calls this breathing room for my soul. What a beautiful way to describe the rest that you can find when you wait quietly and are aware and attentive to the presence of God. Last week, I don't know if any of you were like this. We went out for Mother's Day and we had this, man, it was this buffet. Man, it's killer. I literally felt like my ribs were broken and had to expand to include all the food. That often is our lives, right? It feels like there is so much crammed in. There's so much restlessness. There's so much running from event to event. It feels like sometimes like, ugh. And I love that picture, right? Breathing room for my soul. Like when you loosen the pants after Thanksgiving. Breathing room for the soul. That wonderful place of intimacy where we delight in God and God delights in us. What we were talking about last week. Where does God find joy in your everyday choices and that? Now, can I say this to us? Rest like this, pausing and being aware of the moment, it doesn't just happen. If you think this will come to you by osmosis, you are kidding yourself. Those breathing room moments are created by intentionally pushing aside the worries and concerns and sometimes sitting quietly and imagining God in you and around you and the Holy Spirit filling you to overflowing. But they are brief, deliberate pauses in our schedules that allow stillness to dissolve the pressures and concerns of the day. Does that make sense? Like, it's a deliberate thing that we choose to do. I think sometimes we misunderstand stillness too. Bruce uses a lot, and he's talked about this in some of the series he's done. He uses the word mindfulness. I say stillness a lot, and I think some people are confused by that. Stillness does not mean motionlessness. Because sometimes y'all look at me and you go, like, man, I have things to do in a day. I can't just sit like a monk and hum and hold my fingers out and do that constantly. Stillness doesn't mean motionlessness. It's more of an inner posture than it is an outward discipline that you kind of see somebody doing. It's an exercise in learning to pay attention to the now rather than was or will be. But here's the kicker. I can be still in my spirit while walking and moving and doing daily activities. I can find inner rest doing all manner of motion. Matter of fact, Henry Nouwen used to say, I wish I couldn't find that phrase, but I've shown it to you before, where it's like, he says, your insides are like a monk's cell where he goes to be with God, and that cell can go with you. So yeah, you might have moments in your living room in the morning where you're praying and you're still, but then that goes with you. That's a problem with evangelical culture of, you know, did you have your devotions? Well, great. So you gave 30 minutes to God, big deal. If that doesn't carry with you throughout the day, then it's not that great. Because then that teaches you to say, for 30 minutes I was with God, but then this other stuff is just the rest of my life. No. That cell goes with you. And you can descend into that cell. You can allow your head to move into your heart and be there in all manner of motion. So learning to rest in the moment, finding breathing room for your soul, I would say to you, is a very powerful tool that doesn't require special skills. You can have certain places, but it doesn't require certain places or some kind of book or anything like that to make it happen. We can all find stillness and the presence of God 100 times a day. This is as practical, friends, as I get. So here are some thoughts I want to share with you. You can write this down in your words or whatever. I would encourage you to. Here are some thoughts on how to accomplish this. How in your busy day and schedule, what you're doing, do you have those moments, those deliberate pauses where you come to attention? Where you say, okay, I'm here. I'm grounded here in this moment. Well, the first one, pretty easy because we've been saying it, is first you got it. Sometimes you just got to press the pause button. Cultivating restful moments is a very deliberate action. So sometimes it will require, maybe there are spaces, seek out spaces that encourage rest and awareness. Like you might be in an office. I notice a lot of offices now are having people walk. They're walking all over the roads in their ties and their work clothes. Maybe it's that. Maybe your office says go outside. So maybe it's a place in nature for you. Maybe it's a park bench that it could be a comfortable chair at home or a spot in your home, an office in your home. It could be a coffee shop that you like. Or it could be, because some people can't do that, so it could be things that you have deliberately placed on your desk, your work area. Having certain things, having certain places that you visit in a given day are all gifts to you to give you breathing room for your soul. You're not just a doing, you're a being. So to stop and be aware that God is with you and he's in the work, sometimes you need to go to these places, but sometimes you can just stop where you are and there's things that remind you. Here's another one. I think this one's really important for health anyway. Stop and breathe. Maybe you can go to one of those places that maybe speak to you, or maybe you just, where you are, sit up straight, put your feet on the ground, close your eyes for a moment and take deep breaths slowly in and out. And as you breathe, this locates you in the moment. Be conscious of your breathing coming in through your nose or your mouth, filling your lungs with life-giving oxygen. You say, well, that's just a physical. No, friends, that is very spiritual. What is the spirit, the pneuma, the breath of God? Who sustains and holds that? A lot of times we just take that for granted. What happens in a given day, I notice, man, my back, my shoulders, because you're sitting there, you're going to town on a computer or whatever, and man, just to sit up and go, realize God is holding that moment. Sometimes hold your breath for about, if you can, for 10 seconds. Slowly let that breath out. What you're doing is letting supposedly toxins out of your body to be expelled. That's the physical. Here's the spiritual. What if you imagine your tensions and your anxieties and your pressures and your concerns being breathed out? I breathe in God and his life. My way is easy. I always say that to my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So if you are pressured beyond, something's not right. Doesn't mean there aren't intense moments. It just means, man, if that's always your, man, you're carrying everything in your shoulders and you're always in the future, that isn't Jesus' easy way. How do I learn to breathe in God's life and then breathe out these things to him? Sometimes it's as simple as that. That's really good on your physical health as well, too. But there are, the church, see, sometimes we don't avail ourselves to these tools. In the church, there are these breath prayers. So here's one that people do. You make up your own, but breathe in the breath of God, breathe out your cares and concerns. Breathe in the love of God, breathe out your doubts and despairs. Breathe in the life of God, breathe out your fears and your frustrations. Think of this, you're at work. We sit quietly before the one who gives life and love to all creation. In this moment, we sit in awe of the one, as we read last week, who formed us in our mother's womb. We sit at peace, surrounded by the one who fills everything, every fiber of our being. So we breathe in the breath of God, breathe out tensions and turmoil. Breathe in the love of God, breathe out haste and hurry. Breathe in the life of God, breathe out the worry and the tensions. Sometimes it's this. Notice the beauty that is around you. Granted, we're not in Hawaii, we're not in Colorado, we're in pretty flat Indiana. Sometimes look out the window, or again, here's where maybe you can go outside for a moment. Do this. Remember when Chris... So a few weeks back, at the beginning of the year, Chris found that leaf and it sat back there and it had a smiley face. Chris looked down, saw a leaf and it had a smiley face on it. And then we talked about Carissa, a little girl, walking and stopping and just examining things. I would encourage you, does Jesus call us to childlikeness? See, we miss this. What if we just focused on a natural object? Like look at it like a child, like you're examining it and seeing it for the first time, whether that's a cloud, a flower, insect, whatever it is, just examine the details for a moment. Imagine the energy of God. I say, oh, you're getting pet. Imagine the energy of God flowing into all his world. Because that thing is animated and held by God just like you are. We get a little too crazy. Well, that sounds pain. Yeah, there's good things in some of that. So imagine God's life and energy sustaining it. Think about that thing's purpose and place. Remember we had that sermon where we said, everything belongs. Everything has a purpose and a place. And then just let that, I mean, this takes 2 minutes, friends. Then just thank God for the wonder of creation. Imagine how your day has now just changed because you've taken 2 minutes to do that. Here's another one I like. Take a moment to appreciate what you're doing. This is hard sometimes. Pause to appreciate your work. My sons used to do this, both of them, when they were babies. I used to love that. They would just go like, I'm doing that. Do that. Look at your hands and thank God for the dexterity that makes your work possible. Thank God for your amazing brain and intellect, which facilitates your questioning, your exploration, your understanding, your creativity. I sometimes will look at the words that I've written or maybe write an email to somebody and just thank God for language to express yourself. Like that, like, wow, I'm sitting here and that person's there and I use these words and hopefully they'll be encouraged and ramp, it's sent, they get it. Just thank God for that. So, we have this technology and we use it wrong. Let's use it right. Set reminders for yourself. My goodness, you have a phone every hour, every two, every three, whatever it is for you, just set a little buzz and go, okay, that's going to be my reminder. That's my church bell ringing me, calling me to prayer. That's a good way to use technology. If you can, again, I love these. These have been life-changing for me. I think Kimber at my old church that I worked with taught us this. Do prayer walks. If you can go outside, just pray out loud to God whatever you're feeling. You don't have to have an agenda. You don't have to be great. Just pray to God where you're at and what you're feeling. Or I do this often. If you don't want to have an agenda, just thank God for whatever you see. Go outside, just thank God for whatever you see. That might take 2 minutes. But sometimes write down, that's why we do this here. Sometimes there's something about the action of writing it down, like writing a breath prayer. So here we are in the middle. Let's do one. Let's try it right now. So take a paper pen. Let's try writing a breath prayer, and I'm going to help you. So we'll make it a little poetic. So write this maybe as your first line. God, I rest in this moment that you hold together. So somewhere on your paper, just say it right. God, I rest in this moment that you hold together. So maybe that's kind of your first line. I rest in this moment that you hold together. Colossians tells us that all things are held together by him. So this could be your last line, so leave some space. God, and I, the same thing almost. God, I rest in this moment that you hold together and find breathing room for my soul. God, I rest in this moment that you hold together and I find breathing room for my soul. So there's your, so just do two or three lines. And I like to do this. Maybe you'll like this better. I sometimes don't like to think exactly what I'm breathing out. Just say, what do you want to breathe in? Like, God, I breathe in who you are. I breathe in your laughter and fun. I breathe in your creativity and diversity. I breathe in your grief at pain and suffering in the world. I breathe in your joy, your generousness, your caring. What is it you want to breathe in? And then sometimes I just breathe out because that's my silence. So you maybe fill in a couple lines just now. God, what do you want to breathe in? Who is God? How is it work? What do you want to take into you? So maybe your first line is, God, I rest in this moment that you hold together. And then you say, God, I breathe in this. I breathe in this. Think of his attributes, his characteristics. And then end, God, I rest in this moment you hold together and I find breathing room for my soul. So we don't take too long. I really like this one. This one's important to me. I need to do this more, but imagine yourself entering into the place where God waits. I like this. Imagine God waiting in your heart, the very center of your being. And he enters in, waits for you to enter into that place of quietness where your soul and your spirit are in sync. I like this line, with the rhythm of God's eternal breath. That's an Irish poet, John O'Donohue, uses that line, rhythm of God's eternal breath. So God is in the center of your being, and he waits for you for head to descend to heart in that moment where your soul and spirit are in sync with the rhythm of God's eternal breath. I like that. Entering into that place where God is, where he dwells, and dwell with him and be there for just a brief moment in a deep and profound connection with the living God. What's he say? The kingdom is in you. We try to act like, I was talking with somebody, I think Caleb even, that we try to act like Christianity is so not mystical. The kingdom is in you. You don't get Christ in you. I'm in the Father and I am in you and you are in me. Yeah, we're not mystical at all. I mean, come on. The problem is we're not mystical enough, I would say. We're scared of that. We just like propositions and simple truths. And it's like, no. I am in you and I dwell in you. Dwell with me. Let your head descend to your heart. I like that one. So imagine yourself. Just sometimes the imaginations are powerful. I imagine that I'm kind of in there. And I dwell with God in that quiet place. And man, 2 minutes of that, just like, God, I'm here. I'm deeply loved. I'm going to function out of that. Here's another one we've talked a lot about is the divine hours. Man, just stop and pray the psalm. Like now, it would be great if we did, the church has given us this gift, if we stopped and did a morning psalm and an afternoon and an evening at the very least. I understand people's schedules don't always fit with that, but you could stop, I think, in the afternoon. And again, here's your technology. You say, well, I don't have the books that you have. Plug in divine hours in a search engine and you'll get 20 different ways you can do it. Like I said, I used to sit at my computer, and it was a Catholic one, and the bells would actually ring, like church bell. I loved that. Like I'd pray something, and you could push a button, and ding, ding. I loved that. There'd be music in the background. I wish somebody could have peeked in my windows. I was finding. But I love that. So there's really no excuse. Like Phyllis Tickle has done a great service to the church in that she has put all these psalms in order. And all you have to do is on the day-to-day, plug in divine hours. You can even, her name's fun to say, Phyllis Tickle. And man, hers will come up and she gives you verses and psalms and they're organized around the afternoon. Simple. Like, we have never lived at a time where there are more resources for you to use, and yet we are the worst at this. See, there's something wrong with that. So that's a simple one. Here's another one, pretty simple. Practice gratitude. Pause for a moment, look around you and what you're doing and what makes all of that possible. So here's a simple one. What are three things that you don't usually notice that you are grateful for? Could be an ink pen. Could be electricity, windows, computer. Just look at three things. Sometimes that's easy. Just stop for 2 minutes and look at three things that you just kind of take for granted, but you're thankful for, and express gratitude for God that you have them, for their creators and the people that maintain them. Amen? Like, think of, you're in an office, the people that clean and maintain, the people that work on computers and make sure you're able to do your job. Just do that. I think this one's important too. Sometimes, I don't know why it did that, but there we go. That's not it. So that one's blank, huh? That's really weird. Okay, there was one there, but we'll pretend it's there, okay? Write down some of these prayers. Like, write down, even if it's two words, like if you have a little notebook beside you, I think the physical act of writing down, because sometimes you can just rest and contemplate on what you've written in the past. So say you write a breath prayer today, so you have that in a little notebook, and you look back, oh, okay, on this date, sometimes it's good to put the date, on this Tuesday, whatever, I wrote, oh, this is good, I can just meditate on that. See, so sometimes, that's why I do it here sometimes. Sometimes the physical act of writing it down gives you remembrance and longevity, and sometimes just contemplation, meditation on, oh, this happened on this day, I wrote this here, you know, I remember seeing this now. I can go back to that park bench, whatever it is. Last one is this. That's so weird that just disappeared. I just looked at it today and it was there, so that's very strange. I'm going to contemplate that tomorrow. Last one is this. I like saying it like this. Put the day to rest. I do not think we do this enough. Take time to think about what you did on this one day that God gave you. Like, God gave you this day. His mercies were new this day. And a lot of times we just lay down and go, what did you do on this one day and how did it affect you? Like, use that. You can do this in bed. As your head is starting to lay on the pillow, how are you drawn to God from this 24-hour period? It could be a lot of days you're drawn in wonder and praise. Other days it could be you're drawn in frustration and concern. But do you see how giving that over to God might actually help you sleep better as well? There's some physical benefits there too. Some days you're going to turn to Him in sorrow and grief. But how did you live this 24 hours? So put the day to rest and then relax. So that's a great way to end it. So last thing, before I hand it over to you, one form of prayer. So when I thought about living in the moment, one form of prayer that I find helpful is called circling prayer, which was widely used by Celtic Christians. That automatically turned me onto it. But in the 4th and 8th centuries, I got a whole section of I think that I am Celtic Christian, but I have a whole section in the library just about that period in history. But Celtic stuff, whenever you see it, it often has circles. That's a big part of their imagery. There's patterns and circles. But they had these prayers that they called caims, K-A-I-M, caim. And that was very important in their prayer life. Now, y'all know I love these. I've almost gotten that tattooed like a million times, but haven't. But I love Celtic crosses. It's usually almost always has that circle that is on a cross, and that's expressing the unique way that Celtic Christianity included this sense of wholeness with creation, and they joined that with the image of Christ. So what they would do is, instead of just saying, well, that's pagan, they would take pagan symbols and they would recreate them as a Christ-based practice, because not everything's wrong about it. So in that time, the circle was a pagan sign of the sun or the earth or the natural world. So instead of just saying, well, we're just going to go through the land and purge it of all its circles, they said, let's take the circle and let's put it on the cross. And they were expressing their view that God reveals Himself through the cosmos, through the natural world, but obviously uniquely and finally in Christ. But both of them give us a full picture. So the two are bound together with that circle at the intersection of the natural and the spiritual realm. And what it reminded them when they saw it, caused them to recognize the image of God in all people. And that the presence of God that is flowing through his creation. I like that. So for them, circles became important because it was felt that a circle with no break in it was a complete whole. Like it represented wholeness. And I even like this. It afforded no access to the devil. So monasteries, if you go travel any, monasteries were often surrounded by a circle of crosses because they were declaring that this space within was sacred and different and dedicated to God. And when people saw it, it was a place where, hey, we can meet God there. That's a place that we will be offered sanctuary and hospitality. You know, I like that. So a typical CAIM, C-A-I-M, it would visualize, what do we want God to keep in the circle of our lives? And then what do we want to resist and keep out? I like this. So in times of danger, they would draw a circle in the air around themselves and their loved ones. A lot of times they would use the index, they would use their right hand and the finger, and they would kind of turn around sunwise, and they would recite these prayers. Didn't come out very clear, but I think you'll get it. They would recite prayers like this. I love this. The mighty three, my protection be, encircling me, you are around my life, my home, encircling me, O sacred three. I love that. Here's another one. Circle me, Lord, keep protection near. So you see what you're keeping in? Keep protection near, danger far. Circle me, Lord, keep light near and darkness afar. Circle me, Lord, keep peace within and evil out. Circle me, Lord, keep hope within, keep doubt without. May you be a bright flame before me, a guiding star above me, a smooth path below me, and a loving guide behind me today, tonight, and forever. I like that. So they would recite prayers like that. And sometimes they would even create a circle path around the room, the building, the community, their home, like the monks did with the circle of crosses. I like this. In the modern day world, there was a teacher who knew about these prayers. She's kind of a spiritual director, but she taught at a school during the day, and it was a very violent neighborhood. So one day she had all the students in the school write words of peace and hope on little rocks, and she took those stones and she encircled the school facility like a protecting circle, and she told the kids every day, this is what we want in the circle, these words. Out here, it's intense, it's violent, it's angry. In here, hope. Peace, joy, that's what's going to be in this building. I love that kind of stuff. That means something, because then what you can do, see, imagine, and she had the students do the circling prayer. So sometimes when kids get in trouble, she will send them outside, and you can say a circling prayer as you kind of walk a mini pilgrimage around the school. You see? That's a great way. Instead of just getting in trouble, you have to sit in the corner. Hey, you go outside and pray. Get your attitude right. We want that outside the circle, so when you come back in, you're right. You're whole. I don't know what I have next, so I gotta look at it. Okay, so here's where you do your job. So first off, I'll show you this and maybe I'll come back to it, but this is another prayer. So I'm gonna have you do a circle prayer on your own, but do this first. So remember that question you asked? I think it's worthy spending time. What distracts you? It's good to note that. What distracts you? What is the thing that kind of most pulls you away from the divine presence? Think about that for a few moments, and then maybe think of some of the things. I saw some of you writing this down. What would you like to incorporate? Like, it's not this, oh, I got to do this, and now I'm just adding to my weight. No, it's like, where can you stop? Where can you give yourself breathing room for your soul today? Just think about that for a few moments. We'll just do that for like a minute or two. So what distracts you, and then what do you think you would, how could you incorporate some of this in your day? And I'm going to guide you through writing your own circle prayer. So you might go ahead on your paper and draw a circle. And just because I'm cheesy like this, notice you have little circles. So you got a little reminder there to take with you. If you don't like yours, some are bronze, some are silver. You can put that on a keychain, but that's just a reminder of this, what we just talked about. So for a minute now, what distracts you from the divine presence the most? What could you maybe incorporate into your daily rhythm that might give you breathing room for your soul? And all those people that came today, they don't get a circle. How about that? Think about that for a moment, and then I'll guide you through the final. Some of you, like, you just preach and we'll listen. But I think this is good. I think your mind works in a different way. What distracts you from the divine presence, and what would you want to incorporate? I love it because I feel like God in this moment has given you space to think about those things. What is something simple you can add to your daily rhythm that will give you pause and your soul has room to breathe? More on your own. Will you do this with me now? So do this, and everybody does it, and we'll be fine. So first off, here's a case. So here's one. Here's an example of it's just a different one. Circle me, O God, keep hope within, keep despair without, keep peace within, keep worry without, keep joy within, keep fear without, love, hatred, strength, weakness, keep light within, keep darkness without. Amen. See, that's another good one. Okay, do this. So entertain me for a moment. Let's be like little kids. Everybody's eyes will be closed so no one sees. So do this for a moment. Just sit for a moment with your eyes closed. Now let's incorporate a couple of things that we said. So just for a moment, while you're sitting there, your feet, maybe you're firmly planted on the ground, maybe sit up and just do a couple breathing. Just breathe in and out for a couple moments. And pay attention to your breath. That's God sustaining and holding that. But just sit, breathe in, breathe out. Just do that a couple times. And maybe say to yourself in your mind, circle me, Lord. Just connect that with your breathing. Circle me, Lord. This might be stretching some of you, but do this. Take one of your fingers and draw an imaginary circle around right where you're sitting. You can just do it one time, but deep breathing a couple times, and then take your finger and just encircle yourself. And envision as you do this, this is where our minds are powerful. Imagine God enfolding you, almost like a giant blanket or cloak when we were kids. My kids used to love to get. So God enfolding you. And ask God to hear his voice. Maybe just say with your breathing still, circle me, Lord. Circle me, Lord. And then as you're imagining that, imagine now also Christ with his arms stretched out on the cross, and he binds all the elements of the natural world and you and your dwelling in this moment right now. He brings all those things together. Picture just Christ, those arms outstretched, bringing everything together that was torn apart, that is divided. He takes all those flowing fragments of the universe and he binds them together and connects them to even you right now as you are encircled. Just imagine that in your mind for a moment. And then when you're ready, just open your eyes, draw a circle on that piece of paper there. Kind of representing what you just imagined, the encircling presence of God around you. And remind yourself of the attributes of God that you want the circle of your life to embrace in this moment, right here, right now. Maybe just draw a circle of what you've been imagining. What do you want in that circle? Maybe write them around the inside of the circle. Maybe it's simple like peace, joy, hope, what? Write them around the inside of your circle. And at the same time, maybe go, what do you want to keep on the outside? So maybe there's things you write on the outside of the circle. So it's like maybe distraction or worry or frustration. Put that on the outside of the circle. Write the things that you want God to bind, to keep close on the inside of that. And as you do that, maybe some of you will just say, now write maybe one of those circling prayers, breathing prayers. Lord, circle me. Keep this within, keep this without. Maybe you just writing those words, that's enough. But maybe you write a little prayer that keep peace in, keep worry out. Feel free to take one of those circles with you if that helps. That's a reminder.